Good day to you. God bless you. Say welcome to the Shepherd's Chapel. Welcome to this family Bible study hour. Isaiah chapter 42. We're going to pick it up about verse 9 here in a moment. I want you to remember verse 1 of this 42nd chapter, though. Behold, my servant whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him, and he shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. God's very spirit in, and of course we're talking about the Savior, the Holy Spirit, dwelling with the Father and the Son. And as he continues on, he said he's a light to the Gentiles as well as other peoples, a light to the world. And in verse 6 is the light to the Gentiles. The point is, he kind of hints, but it seems like a lot of people are not listening to him. And even though I go way out on the limb to declare things from before and things that have been already passed, and it seems like people might as well be deaf or with no eyes. They can't see or hear. Meaning, quite frankly, they ignore our Father. He doesn't like that. So he's hinting toward that, but he talks about the wonderful things that Messiah will do for you to open the blind eyes, he would say in verse 7, of the prisoners, if they allow it, if they believe. That's the secret. So, having said that, chapter 42, verse 9, a word of wisdom from our Father, let's go with it. Behold, the former things are come to pass, just like I told you. And new things do I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. That's why his prophecies are ever so important. The minor prophets example are like reading tomorrow's newspaper. God foretells us all things if you listen, but you have to believe and you have to listen and you have to have the unction of that Holy Spirit. Verse 10, sing unto the Lord a new song and his praise from the end of the earth. Ye that go down to the sea and all that is therein, the isles and the inhabitants thereof. That means every country around the world. Sing because the Lord is here. He has come now at the first advent, and we're looking forward to the second. The song you're going to sing is the song of Moses, as it's written in Deuteronomy 32. And how precious that psalm is, that our Father leads us, guides us, and directs us. Verse 11. Let the wilderness and the cities thereof lift up their voices. The village that Kedar doth inhabit. Kedar, it means dark-skinned. Let the inhabitants of the rock sing. This word rock can be translated Shela, and it's one of the strongholds of Edom, which is to say Esau. Okay. Roosh. Let them shout from the top of the mountains. And there it is, the nations. Let them shout. Let them absorb and let them receive. If they will, if they'll listen, they've got something to shout about. They've got something to rejoice about. Our Father's good to them. Verse 12. Let them give glory unto the Lord and declare his praise in the islands. That means in every district. Give praise to him. Why? Because he chooses his children. Not just part of them, all of them that will obey, all of them that will listen. Verse 13, the Lord shall go forth as a mighty man. He shall stir up jealousy like a man of war. He is jealous, okay? He shall cry, yea, roar. He shall prevail against his enemies. You can count on it. It doesn't pay to be in disfavor with Almighty God as a nation, an individual, or whatever. Okay. He always wins. Verse 14, I have long time holding my peace. I have been still and refrained myself. Now will I cry like a travailing woman. That's giving birth to a new age. I will destroy and devour at once. God has been very patient. And patience to the point that a lot of people say, it's not going to happen. I don't think it'll ever come to pass. But God is, as it is written in 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 7 and 8, God is long-suffering. That means he's got lots of patience. And it is his will that all come to repentance. They won't. But he wants them to at least have that opportunity. So he has waited, and he's held this for a long time. And when he turns it loose, you better watch out if you're an enemy of his, or if you're in an enemy camp, listening to an enemy. You better be listening to your father. Because when that time comes, he's going to devour at once. That means take over at once. Verse 15, I will make waste mountains and hills, that's nations and small countries, and dry up all their herbs, and I will make the rivers islands, and I will dry up the pools. And we know that in Revelation 21, verse 1, that all water bodies are dried up and done away with at his return at the end of the millennium. Why? Well, because the firmament goes back and waters the earth each night, each evening, without storm and without upset. Verse 16, and I will bring the blind by a way that they knew not. I will lead them in paths that they have not known. I will make darkness light before them, and crooked things straight. These things will I do unto them and not forsake them. And of course, in the millennium, the paths will be straightened out, and people are going to see that way and wonder, why in the world was I so obstinate to my father when I could have had his blessings all these years? Could have had his favor. Had eyes to see, but was as blind as a bat. Because I didn't see that precious way that God provided for me. But yet at the same time, in his anxiety to straighten things out, he still has patience with those that will try, even through the millennium days. Next verse, please, verse 17. They shall be turned back. They shall be greatly ashamed that trust in graven images. They say to the molten images, ye are our gods. He's jealous, all right. And of course, naturally, ultimately, their God is the Antichrist, and they're deceived by him. And this is why many will be so ashamed they'll pray for mountains to fall on them. Why? Well, they truly love the Lord Jesus Christ. It's just that they thought that the true Christ was returning first to give them a lift out of here. They didn't read God's word that warns over and over that the false Christ comes first to deceive, to imprison, to lock away. And how ashamed they are that supposed Christians should be so deceived by none other than Satan himself. Greatly disappointed. Just that hardly will even catch it. Verse 18, here goes his call. Listen to it. Hear, ye deaf, and look, ye blind, that you may see. This is God's call to those that will ignore, that won't pay attention. Verse 19, who is blind but my servant? And we're talking about Jacob, his children here. Who's blind but my children? Boy, are they blind. Or deaf, they can't hear, as my messenger that I sent. Who is blind as he that is perfect, and blind as the Lord's servant? In other words, many of them that claim to be preachers of God, carrying God's word. There's a very special word in this verse, and I cannot let it stand without correcting it. This word perfect is shalom. And most of you know what the word Hebrew word shalom means. It means peace. Only this is a double, it's plural. And and it's the peace, peace, peace. Who is blind as he that has double peace and blind as the Lord's servant? In other words, they're at peace because they think that God is with them, but unfortunately, it's the false God. There's not a worse situation to be in than to be deceived. And do you know something? Christ went to great effort to see that this did not happen when he still walked this earth as born of woman. The very first thing after his baptism, he was taken into the wilderness, or went into the wilderness 40 days and was tempted by none other than Satan himself. And the example set forth for you so that you would be warned and prepared for the hour of temptation was the temptation of Christ. That what did Satan tempt him with? Nothing other than the Word of God himself. There's just one problem with Satan quoting Scripture. Oh, he knows the Scripture. Satan can quote Scripture better than most Christians. There's just one problem. He just twists the end of it about 90 degrees to make that is true a lie. And do you know something? Many Christians would say, well, amen, brother, in ignorance. You've got to have eyes to see, and that double peace will lull you off into lolo land. You've got to be sharp, and you've got to think for yourself. If somebody says to you, oh, there's change coming, you better be smart enough to say, to what? So here we have this lulled off to sleep with slogans mentioned by man. It'll be okay. Everything is wonderful. Are you ready? Ready for what? Enslavement? Butchery? Turning away from truth? You want to be careful what you ask for. Always align with God's word, and you won't go too far wrong. Think about it. The pulpits of the world will mislead if you allow them. God warned there would be many false prophets and shepherds in the world in the end times. That's what he's saying here. Verse 20. Seeing many things, but thou observest not. Opening the ears, but he heareth not. I mean, he is just oblivious to what's happening around them, or to truth. They can't hear it. You can teach it. You can teach it where a child can understand. And if they are hooked on deception and double peace, double safety, don't rock my boat, I've got it made, I'm out of here, then the truth itself, they will never see it. And how quickly God is warning here of the deception. Verse 21, the Lord is well pleased for his righteous sake. Those that truly see, his elect, that know the truth, that know the false Christ comes first. He will magnify the law and make it honorable. In other words, his people will know the truth, and it will be honorable because it will always protect you. It will always bring God's blessings to you and your family. You may have a few problems, but man, can you plow deep? You can cut it. Why? You're one of God's righteous. You're trying to do what's right by adhering to God's word. Verse 22. But, he's looking over here at these others. But this is a people robbed and spoiled. They are all of them snared in holes. They're trapped. And they are hid in prison houses. They are for a prey, and none delivereth for a spoil, and none saith, restore. And you know, I don't like to do this, but what he's talking about here is usury. If you're not careful, you get so set in usury that you have your own prison. In other words, a house that shouldn't run any more than $10,000 worth of material, and I'm dating myself, but just listen to the numbers. And I'll just finance that for 30 years so it makes easy payments. And do you know what you do? You imprison yourself into usury. And it is true that you have to have a place to stay, but get out of usury as quick as you can. Because you're going to, I can handle $500 a month for 30 years. Yes, do that. Then look down at the fine print, how much of that actually goes into your pocket paying off the principal, $20. And somebody else gets into your pocket for $480 a month. Just because they signed the paper and kind of stood up for your house. Okay. And you're hooked for 30 years. This is why, now there's very little one can do in establishing a home. Nothing wrong with you being wise, but do be wise. Get the very best usury you can find in purchasing that home, and don't spoil yourself totally for a lifetime. Have a way out, okay? Or there will be snares and pitfalls there, and you will be the spoil, okay? It will just happen that way. Verse 23, who among you will give ear to this? How many can listen? Who will hearken and hear for the time to come? Who wants to listen to the word of God? Well, God's righteous do. Those that want to be blessed of God, they're going to hear and they're going to listen. 24, who gave Jacob for a spoil and Israel to the robbers? Who opened the gates that would allow Jacob to have free will? This is to say the children of Israel. Did not the Lord? Yep, that's right. He against whom we have sinned. For they would not walk in his ways, neither were they obedient unto his law. Wouldn't listen. So God simply said, hey, that's the way you want to do, you have to it. Have a good trip. And instead of following God's law, they follow the law of our enemy itself, if you're not careful. Thank God for America, where everyone has a decent chance and an opportunity to work their way out of it if they so choose. It pays to listen to your father. It brings many blessings in more ways than you can count, is to be in his service and in his camp. Verse 25. Therefore, he has poured upon him the fury of his anger and the strength of battle. That's to say, even against Israel, if you're not careful. And it hath set him on fire round about, yet he knew not. And it burned him, yet he laid it not to heart. He didn't understand why. Man puts himself in such fixes. And then wonders why. Well, I know what God's word says, but I don't know if I could believe that or not. Then suffer. Okay. God is not going to help you as long as you're obstinate. God is not going to help you as long as you want to be a servant to Satan, which is to say sin. It's up to you. You know, everybody has free will to make their own mind up. God's elect, it's a little different situation, but that's his righteous. Those chosen even before the foundations of this world, as it is written in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. But it's your choice. You know, our Father in that chapter, many would say, that is really, really hard. No, read the first verses over again. He poured his heart out to you. He let his emotions even show as to how he placed his spirit in the servant so that he would be there for you. if you would listen, if you would hear. And then he made it very clear that in verse 21 that he blesses his righteous. If you want to be unrighteous, that's your problem, friend. Totally your problem. Some people can learn and some people can mature. But some people like that word, shalom, double peace. I'm at peace with the world. Oh, are you? You want to be real careful, friend, that you don't drift away from God's word in your melancholy attitude toward life. God is a wonderful Father. Chapter 43 and verse 1. But now, thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, don't be afraid, for I have redeemed thee, I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. Now, I want you to know it was Jacob that God did call by name. Why? Jacob wrestled with him way into the night. And God changed his name from Jacob to Israel, which is to say the prince that has prevailed with God. God loves him. He's a fighter. But he said, relax, take a deep breath, don't be afraid. Follow me. Verse 2. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burnt, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. And you can't help but remember Daniel chapter 3, verse 25, where Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were in the fiery furnace, and Neb looks in and he says, hey, how many men did we throw in there? They said, three. He said, well, I see four. Because the Son of God was walking with them. They weren't singed. They were protected. Those were examples set forth to you that God takes care of his own, that you have nothing to fear. It may get a little rough around the edges at times, but you can cut it because you're a child of God. Verse 3, for I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. And here he's talking about a type, that's Cyrus, that would come and deliver his children, okay? And when he uses the term Savior, and when he uses the term above, redeemed, that's kinsman redeemer. Meaning he has the right, because he's family, to redeem you when you're in problems, okay? When you have a problem. And now we switch from Cyrus back to the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen carefully. Verse 4. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men, that's Adam, for thee, and people for thy life. In other words, I'm going to let you be the ransom, and Christ was the ransom. With his life, he paid for the sins of many that would believe upon him. He ransomed them. He was the sacrifice for one and all times, as it is written in Hebrews chapter 10. That he is with us. That he loves us. And certainly our Savior. And it cost him an awesome price to pay that price. He was crucified. But then he went on high to sit at the right hand of God as our lawyer, okay, to guarantee that we had even breaks in this world, that everything went our way. Kinsman, redeemer, sitting at the very right hand of God. It doesn't get any better than that, my friend. It sure beats that shalom back in verse 19, which is a false peace. This is real peace. He's the real one. He's the real Savior. Verse 5. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. That's from all over. 6. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far and my daughters from the ends of the earth. In other words, when he gathers them back together, the family, and he will keep them. Verse 7, even everyone that is called by my name, are you a Christian, Christ meant? For I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him. God created mankind, his children, for his pleasure. It does you well to give God pleasure occasionally, because that's what he wants from you, is your love. Okay. Verse 8. Bring forth the blind people that have eyes and the deaf that have ears. Those that are deceived. They are simply can't see because their spiritual eyes are closed. 9. Let all the nations be gathered together, and let the people be assembled. Who among them can declare this and show us former things? Let them bring forth their witnesses, that they may be justified, and let them hear and say, it is truth. Who foretells us things? Not some idol, not some false god, but Almighty God himself, that gives us the prophets and their prophecies. And these prophets that are written. Jesus would say in Mark 13, behold, I have foretold you all things, meaning through the prophets and the apostles, that all things that we need to know and to be warned of, and we can happily and gladly say, it is a truth. It is the true word of God. God said it. It is written. That is it. Verse 10. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen. Mark that word, chosen. That you may know and believe me, and understand that I am he, because for me there was no God formed, neither shall be there after me. I am that I am. That's what he said, call me. And so it is, that he was in the beginning, and he is from the beginning. And those that stayed with him in that first earth age are called the chosen. And the witness has come forth to this. The witness that God declared that Cyrus, 137 years before Israel would be freed, he named Cyrus and declared that Cyrus would free them, and so he did. God can do that. Nobody else can. Well, why is that? Because he is Father. He is God. Verse 11, I, for emphasis, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. I'm sorry, there's no other way. Regardless of what people may like or think or sing or dream, he is it. There's no other salvation available to man other than through Yahweh, the Heavenly Father. Verse 12, I have declared and have saved, and I have showed, proved it, when there was no strange God among you, therefore you are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God. There's no other place to go. Many might say, well, what is he talking about? Well, he parted the Red Sea. He let them through, and then he closed over the sea and drowned the enemy. He's our Father. He cares about his children. He's proved it over and over and over, and how soon people forget. Verse 13. When it says here, do you know what he's quoting in that 12th verse? When there was no strange God among them, you, therefore you are my witnesses. This is in that great song of Moses. And I'm going to read it to you. It's the song that is sung, and this is God is quoting. Is the song that the overcomers will sing when they defeat Satan. I'm going to pick it up in verse 16. Listen to it carefully. This is the song that overcomers sing. They provoked him to jealousy with strange gods. With abominations provoked they him to anger. He didn't like it. They sacrificed unto devils, not to God. To gods whom they knew not, the new gods that came newly up, whom your fathers feared not. One more verse. Of the rock that begat thee, thou art unmindful and hast forgotten God that formed thee. And so it is. There is God quoting that beautiful, wonderful song of Moses that the overcomers sing when we defeat Satan and his children. And God, he's jealous. And what you never want to forget is vengeance belongeth to him. And he will take that vengeance upon his enemy. Make sure you don't get in the way. Because those that do not believe and those that do not understand, they will be in the way. They will be jostled and settled. But it could be kind of a rough trip when all the time you could love him because he gave the truth that you could absorb way before the fact. That's what prophecy is. All right, bless your heart. You listen a moment, won't you please?
Ezra and Nehemiah. These two books are necessary to understand the returning to the Father in that sense of the example set forth in the end times of the rebuilding of God's most favorite place on earth. Also, within these two books, you find the hidden secret, hidden from most people's eyes, that the study in the Hebrew and the Chaldee that is given in these particular books will teach you how that the priesthood itself became polluted during this period of time. This is to say about 400 years before Christ walked the earth to the time that he did walk, instructing you very wisely, setting the example of how it is that we gather back to Christ himself. Ezra and Nehemiah, fantastic. You'll enjoy them.
And there we are back again. Let's have the 800 number, please. 1-800-643-4645. That number is good from Puerto Rico throughout the U.S., Alaska, Hawaii, all over Canada. If the Spirit moves and you have a question, you share it. Once you do that, please never ask a question about a particular reverend or religion or denomination. Let's don't judge people. Not right, okay, because we have one judge. That's our Father. And he likes to do that by himself, quite frankly. All right for you to practice discernment, but not judgment. Those of you that listen by shortwave around the world, it's always a pleasure hearing from you. Your announcer at the end of the hour will give you our mailing address. Now, prayer request, we can do away with the number and the address. Why? God knows what you're thinking. Do you know something? He loves you. He may not love what you're doing, but he does love you. Why? You're his child. And he wants you to return that love. That really makes his day. So let him know that. Won't you communicate with him? That simply means talk to him. That's what prayer is. Not some fancy, laid out, religious type meeting. It's simply talking to your Father. Letting him know you love him. That's the way he likes it. Why? He wants your love. Father, around the globe we come, we ask that you lead, guide, direct, Father. Touch in Yeshua's precious name. Thank you, Father. Amen. Okay, and we'll get into some questions here. We're going to take Deborah from Pennsylvania. Different people have the different opinions about the Sabbath. Christ became our Sabbath in Colossians chapter 2 and in Hebrews chapter 4. Okay? He is our Sabbath. He is our Passover, which is the high Sabbath of all Sabbaths. Don't let man take that away from you. Bryant from Tennessee. If God created man in his and the angels' image, then does man have a trinity of being? That is to say, a conscience, a spirit, and a body like flesh? I know from the Bible that angels have a flesh version because they appear to and even wrestle with humans. So basically our spirit has a choice to listen to our conscience, which knows right from wrong, or succumb to the flesh, which is by nature sinful. I hope I've made my viewpoint clear. Thank you so much for your teaching. You are welcome. I would be a little bit careful when I would say that God created man in his image and in the angel's image. Only one was created in God's image. It sure wasn't you, and it wasn't me. It was Jesus Christ. And I would be a little bit uncomfortable if I put myself in that category, that I was in the image of God. You're not. Okay. You're in the image of yourself, as you were there. If you were to have seen yourself then, you would see yourself today. Minus handicaps and that sort of thing, okay? But other than that, basically, you're okay. But I would be a little bit careful. I hope you understand what I mean. Our Father, He loves us, but a Father is Father, and He's going to fill that role, and we're sure not going to be involved therein. Lori from Newfoundland. Pastor Murray, I have a 9-year-old daughter, Julia, and I was wondering how to explain to her about the Antichrist. Would you so kindly explain how to tell her to know when he comes and also to beware of the false teachings and about truth? My name is Lori, and I heard about your sermons through a Christian friend. Well, that's fantastic, and that's the way the word gets passed. Your 9-year-old is old enough to know the truth, but you teach it on the level in which she is at this time. But the main thing is, teach her the truth. Don't change the truth. And let her know exactly what happened, but do it in a way and let her know at the same time. Where she is a 9-year-old, that among students and so forth, there will be others that will not understand that. And that she is to know and understand that not everybody can see the truth, but she can. And simply stay loyal and true. We have so many children that study with us and I don't want to make it sound like I'm boasting, but children are very intelligent. When it's God's truth taught chapter by chapter and verse by verse, they pick it up. They don't have all the hang-ups of traditionalism that adults have oft times. So they learn fast, and they love truth. Just teach that truth on her level and don't change anything. Dolores from New York. Christmas celebrated December the 25th because we believe that it's Christ's birthday. Is there scripture to confirm this? No, it's the day of conception, okay, not his birth. If you order our tape on Christmas, you'll understand that. The first chapter of Luke documents the date of birth of both John the Baptist and Jesus Christ. Because of the course of Abiah that Zacharias was serving at the time of Elizabeth's pregnancy. Okay? Save always saves. Once a believer receives Christ as their Savior, and for whatever reason that they should backslide, are they still saved? No. you're not saved until you repent again. In other words, the book of life is open. And each time you sin, it's recorded. And judgment day could judge you to hell even though you had been saved at one time if you don't repent. And of course, I'm not the judge. God is. That's his business, not mine, certainly. But I can guarantee you that Jesus does the saving. So once you're saved, it's always there. But you can fall so far away from it, you can go to hell if you don't repent and if you don't try to live right and follow God's instructions. Gilbert from Chicago, Illinois, that is to say. Thank you for your years of teaching. You're welcome, your teachings. Question, are any of the Gentiles a part of the election? Absolutely. They are the kings and queens of the ethnos, as you will read in Revelation chapter 21, verses 20 through 24. The word nations is in the Greek is ethnos. And they are coming to Jerusalem with their kings and queens. They have the kings and queens. Israel doesn't. It has only one king. Pamela from Georgia, thanks for your teaching. You're welcome. I have learned things I have always questioned. Please pray for my daddy. He's very mad at me because I am not going to church, and he doesn't consider watching and reading and studying God's word with you, church. This has really hurt me. I love him very much, but he doesn't understand what I am learning from reading the Bible, not man's word. Just pray about it. Honor him and respect him. And let him know that you enjoy. And besides, you're in church when you're studying with us. We are a church. And this is simply an extension in a class. Where was Eden, and can the location be found today? Some people think it can, but it really can't. Some people think it's where the Tigris and the Euphrates come together, and the other four rivers there, all four rivers that join. I do not buy that, really. Ann from North Carolina. What is the best way for a grandparent or grandmother or godmother to help children experience a great start in knowing and loving Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and God the Father? You have to realize you are the grandparent and the godparent. You're not the parents. And just a word of warning, if let's say that whichever child was yours that married the other, are they of the same beliefs? In other words, if you're not careful, if you have somebody of one belief and you begin teaching their children another belief, you can cause family problems. The best way, I mean, what I'm saying is you have to take all those things into consideration. You're not their parent. You're their grandparent. And family is so wonderful, the loving family that needs to be kept. So never let your teaching drive that family away from you. That's just a word of warning. Otherwise, the best way is for a grandmother or a godparent is to live the example and let them see, and they'll come with you with questions and so forth. I'm just saying you have to be very careful, and you have to be the judge of that yourself. And we got Lily from Missouri. My question is, and I'm not questioning my Father, Christ, or the Holy Spirit, but in your studies, God has different offices. If Satan is the devil, the serpent, and so forth, the Proverbs chapter 8, verse 22, through the end, is that not Jesus speaking? No, it isn't. You go back to verse 1 and see who it is that's speaking. It's wisdom. Wisdom is doing the speaking, not the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay. You've got to rightly divide the Word of God. When it tells you who is speaking in verse 1 of the 8th chapter, don't change it until the word itself changes it, or you will end up misunderstanding the whole thing. All it's saying is wisdom is speaking. Wisdom was with God from the beginning. And he was with him before he ever created the earth. And it's a most beautiful chapter. But it's wisdom speaking. You have to obtain that wisdom. Sterling from California. When Satan is on the earth and people are brought up before him to testify, one entity will not have to testify before him for more than 10 days. Where is this found in the Bible? It is written in the second chapter of Revelation in verse 9, okay, 9 and 10 specifically. In other words, that is an individual thing, not a national thing. The nation itself will have a 5-month period, but no individual will have over 10 days trial placed upon them. And again, you'll find that in Revelation chapter 2, verse 9. This is Ann from Mississippi. I attend this church where this person claims to be a prophet. I know for a fact that this church has spotters. I mean, there's someone looking over the congregation and then goes downstairs to report to the so-called prophet. Then the prophet comes in and starts talking about persons in the congregation. I know in the last days there will be false prophets, and this is one. And then this person screams so loud it hurts my ears. I have tried to tell my friends this is not right, and if you say you know the Bible, you would know in the last days there will be false prophets. Can you tell me a little about... I would recommend highly that you cover Ezekiel chapter 13. There are no prophets today. God produced all the prophets up to the time of John the Baptist, and that's it. Prophecy, in a sense, is a form of teaching or teaching the prophets what the prophets had to say. Why? Because God spoke to them and through them. But there are a lot of fakes in the world. And naturally, anyone that yells so loud that it would hurt your ears, I call that confusion. And God is not the author of confusion. So... I would simply ask you a question. Why do you go to that place? Okay. I mean, I know you must have a reason, and God probably draws you there, and maybe it's for a purpose that you're supposed to straighten somebody out. But be that as it may, it's obvious that's a fake, and I'm not judging him. That's you have spoken. And Ezekiel 13, chapter 13. Shannon from California. Pastor Murray, was Peter's house empty when Christ rebuked him because the Holy Spirit hadn't been offered yet, as Christ had not defeated death yet? Thanks for your teaching. You are welcome. Not really. This is one of the things you have to be careful of. It was not that his house was empty. It was not that he was even possessed. It was the fact that his love for Christ and his human instinct to protect Christ spoke rather than listening to the facts coming from the teacher. They were hard to absorb because of love. So the lesson being not the fact that the house was empty and there was something evil there. It was because that love itself, be careful, don't ever let it change the Word of God. Just simply because you love Him so much. We still have to let His plan run its course as He has stated it shall, and love Him for that, and not to protect or to prevent that's going to be. Mildred in California. What is the kingdom of God, and I would like for you to explain it to me? Well, it's the word kingdom. And who is it of? God. It is the king and his dominion. So, inasmuch as it is the kingdom of God, then what is his dominion? It's everywhere. It's the universe. It's the earth. It's all the planets. It's everywhere. Why? Because God created it, and it's His dominion, and He does rule it. That's what the king and the dominion is, kingdom, okay? Charles from Missouri. Pastor Murray, where did God come from? I've asked many preachers, and no one can answer my question. Can you? Thank you for your teaching. He came from the beginning. He was in the beginning. He is the beginning. Read the first verse of the great Apostle John, St. John. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. Miranda from Mexico. How did you know? How do you know if you are one of God's elect and if you will give testimony to God at the end? Well, it's really quite simple, Miranda. It means if you know that the Antichrist is coming first, you're not going to be tempted by him. You rather find him to be just what he is, a devil and an abomination deceiving God's children. And you will not refuse the Holy Spirit the privilege of speaking through you. As it is written, I want you to make a home study of Mark chapter 13. Now I want you to study it carefully, for it tells you exactly how you're going to know and what it is you're supposed to do. But simply to know that the false one comes first is a pretty strong indication that God's going to use you. Diana from North Carolina, if you have a talent and a gift to make a lot of money, is this a temptation from Satan, or is it a lust for money? No, if it is a true gift from God, God does not expect us to be poor, okay? If God gives you a blessing, and that blessing brings finances because you're serving God, that's wonderful. Simply because God tells us not to take a begging bag, He didn't mean we were to be beggars, certainly quite the opposite of that. So the mammon, or the load that the camel has to unload to go through the needle gate, is ill-gotten gains, not God's gift. Okay, there's all the difference in the world there. If God gives you a talent and a gift for being successful, then praise God. Okay. Karen from Kentucky. And that is to say, if it's legitimate, all right, naturally, it goes without saying. Karen from Kentucky. When does God's fight begin with Armageddon and Haman Gog, and what states are involved in this? Well, Haman Gog is the place of Megiddo, which is to say the place of the crowd, wherever the crowd is gathered. And we know that they gather when Antichrist returns to Jerusalem. That is the gathering place, and that's where Armageddon takes place. Haman Gog takes place to the north of the United States of America. That is my opinion, and I can only say, watch it when it comes to pass. Both battles happen at the same time, and they won't last 15 minutes. Carol from Georgia. Pastor Murray, my son is so deceived. What can I do to keep him, to save his soul before it's too late? So, you know, all you can do in many cases is to let them know you love them, and to let them know what they're doing is wrong. And I don't know to what extent you're saying to save his soul before it's too late. If he is of another religion, then relax. Read Ezekiel 44, chapter 25. I'm sorry, chapter 44, verse 25, about the millennium. How that he's not lost even then, if it's religion you're talking about. You see, I don't know what this sin is you're talking about. if it's drugs or if it's religion different than yours or what. So you leave me a little bit handicapped there to answer. Only thing I can say is set the example and show him what a daughter of God lives like, and he'll be drawn to it. He can't help it, okay? Carolyn from Georgia, what does it mean when the trumpet sounds? Will we really hear it? No, not necessarily. The trumpet, we know when it sounds because of the events that transpire. Example, when the sixth trump sounds, Satan is cast out of heaven onto the earth as Antichrist. So when Antichrist appears on earth, and don't worry, everybody will know it because of the splash it makes, then you will know that is the sixth trump and it has sounded, okay? Just likewise with the seventh trump, Christ returns, you don't have to hear it, you know the seventh has sounded. I'm out of time. Hey, you know what? I love you all because you enjoy studying God's Word chapter by chapter and verse by verse. Most of all, God loves you for it. Do you know something? It makes His day when you study the letter He's written to you. And when you make His day, He's going to make yours. Now, we are brought to you by your tithes and offerings. If we've helped you, you help us keep coming to you. Won't you do that? Bless God. He will always bless you. But there's one thing that's most important indeed, and that is this, that you stay in His Word. Every day in His Word is a good day, even with trouble. Do you know why? Because Jesus, Yahshua, He is the living Word.
Hearing God's Word with understanding will change your life. We hope you have enjoyed.